Hey there, me again. How you doing? Another quick questions today. A few things in one show, and we're going to get to three topics before we run out of time today. At least that's the plan, so let's get to it. Yeah, sometimes when I sit down to record, I crack my knuckles. And this leads me to our first question. Is that bad for you? Because sometimes you hear people say, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. But who are they? Where are they getting this? Let's ask a doctor. Is it okay?
Absolutely okay. You will not get arthritis or damage your fingers, your knuckles, your joints.
Aha. Dr. Robert Clapper, co-director of the Joint Replacement Program at Cedars-Sinai.
And the reason it can happen is because the miracle of your fingers is that there is less friction between the bones in those joints than two ice cubes rubbing together.
Which is wild. So what's going on inside our fingers that we don't understand? Well, he says, instead of cartilage at the ends of the bones there, it's fluid. Think about it like motor oil.
Better known as synovial fluid. So the reason there's no friction, or I should say less friction than two ice cubes rubbing together in your fingers and your knee and your shoulder and all of our joints, is because of the lubricating nature of the motor oil, the synovial fluid. And in that fluid are gas bubbles, nitrogen bubbles. So when you crack your knuckle, you're literally bursting those gas bubbles.
And the sounds of those bubbles bursting, that's the crack. That's what you're hearing.
The time to worry, Mike Simpson, and for your listeners, is if there is three things: pain, swelling, or less range of motion. Noise alone is never a problem.
And why does it feel good? Is that an actual release, or is it just in my head? Like, oh, this is nice, because 20 or 30 minutes later, I mean, I can do it again.
There's something psychological, acting on something and having a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a psychological comfort.
All right, so one more time to be clear. No arthritis. We're going to be fine.
If it's just noise, there is no problem. The knuckles in your fingers, your shoulder, your knee, cracking your neck, noise alone, please don't worry.
Good news for my fellow knuckle crackers out there. Now, think beach. Nice and warm, little breeze, drink with a tiny umbrella in it. We are here because Neil had a question.
Hey, it's Neil from St. Louis, and I'd like to know about Hawaiian shirts. What's the story there, and how'd they get popular?
We can do that. In fact, I've got the guy who literally wrote the book on this. His name's Dale Hope.
The book is Spirit of the Islands, The Aloha Shirt.
Published by Patagonia. And he says, first off, on Hawaii, they're Aloha shirts. On the mainland, we tend to call them Hawaiian shirts. So now that we've got that out of the way, how did this start for you?
Mike, I grew up in it. I didn't have a choice. My dad was a garment manufacturer after the war here. You know, as far back as I can remember, he would make me shirts when I was in the third grade, and I'd proudly wear these custom-made shirts just for me.
And how far back can we go? Is there a sort of origin story?
Yeah, there's different various stories that are out there, and I believe two of them because I've talked to both of the people.
We're in the 1930s for this. Stores down the street from each other, that's what they had, a Chinese guy and a Japanese woman working with fabrics that had come from Asia.
Patterns with rivers, with little bamboo boats, you know, going down them, or tigers, or all Asian themes. But she had this great story about how John Barrymore came in.
That was Drew Barrymore's grandpa, famous actor, if you're not familiar.
Pointed at the kimono fabric for ladies and said, hey, please make me a shirt. And she said, you know, I made the first one, but no big deal. But the guy down there, he would make them. So there's kind of that rivalry that went on.
Then fast forward a few years, it gets more commercial. Then there's the end of the war, returning troops. They buy them. They take them home. Was that a pretty big thing?
Oh, absolutely, Mike. It was a badge of honor for you to come back from being in the service to come and get leave in Honolulu and to get a Hawaiian shirt and then wear it and proudly. And then companies and artists here went, well, instead of the bonsai tree, we'll show the coconut tree. And instead of the river with a bamboo boat, we'll show Diamond Head and the ocean off of Waikiki and the canoes and the tropical fish. And we'll use Hawaiian themes. So they substituted what was commonly used in Asia and Japan, and they started using all the influences from Hawaii. You know, also too, the Beach Boys would wear them.
Yeah, never count out those guys or Elvis as part of this story. From there, you can probably guess a lot of it. Mass-produced, they end up being made on the mainland. We get the loud ones, the parody ones, rubber duckies and tacos and golden retrievers. All of those actually came up in a Google search. College kids wear them, but they still make really nice ones. And that's important to note, because they always have.
You know, I mean, the poor bankers in the old days, they used to have to wear coats and ties, you know, and then Hawaiian shirts came along and they made them in Ivy League styling, and then they reversed the prints so they were a little bit softer so that they could wear these nice button-down reverse print shirts and conduct business, and everybody treated them seriously.
An early link that some have traced all the way to Casual Friday, so this might have helped start that.
As opposed to the visitor's, you know, 100-watt bright shirt that was pretty pink, obnoxious.
Yeah. We'll leave it here. Dale says these will survive in all their forms, whether you're thinking tourist or wedding. Evidence for that, the new ones, you don't look like you're swimming around inside of it. They're sort of a different cut.
Because not only is the print fun, well-colored, but it also fits you.
And now for the easiest transition of all time, from shirts to pants. Why do we say pair of pants when there's only one thing? It's not like a pair of socks. Those are two separate things. Yes, it has two legs, but they're together. It's one item. So we need our linguist back.
This is Jay Padgett. I'm a professor at UC Santa Cruz.
Friend of the pod, been on a few times. So Jay, explain.
There's a group of nouns in English that can only be in the plural, like pants, and they all have something in common. Nouns like binoculars and glasses and tweezers and scissors. And what they all have in common is that you can imagine bifurcating them. One half is like the mirror image of the other half.
Let's all do this in our head. Two pant legs, each side of the scissors.
I guess people perceive these things as being one thing, but also kind of a couple things at the same time. And languages will handle that really differently. So pants is a singular in French, but it's a plural in English.
But by treating this one thing as two things, but still one thing, you're following, we cause a bit of a problem for ourselves. It's both at the same time. So how do we say it?
And you can't say a pants because they're plural, right? A kind of grammatical problem for English speakers.
The fix, it was determined somewhere along the line, would be to say a pair of, because the other phrases we have, they don't really work.
And you don't want to say give me some pants either, because then that sounds like it could be a bunch of pants.
Whole stack of jeans, yeah.
So we forced ourselves into this problem and we solve it by saying give me a pair of pants, give me a pair. It's a way of keeping the plural but making it clear you're talking about one thing.
Because here's the fundamental thing. One of the two items, it doesn't get the job done. It doesn't do what you want. One pant leg, well, you're cold. One scissor, you can't cut. One tweezer, you're not going to be able to tweeze. So even though they're together as one thing, we say a pair.
Exactly.
There you go. We solved it. Thanks for listening this week. Send me more questions. I've got questions at odyssey.com. Somebody said, tell me more about submarines. I liked that one. The barber pole. Why does it have stripes? That was good. And itching. We've had a couple on itching, so we'll scratch that in the coming weeks. This comes from KNX News 97.1 FM in Los Angeles. Until next time.